This is your last chance to enter the Ohio Lottery's Fun Turns 50 promotion. Score $3,500 and two tickets to the epic party at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, where you could win part of another $400,000 in cash prizes. Enter the new 50th anniversary scratch-off or $50 worth of eligible non-winning $5 or $10 scratch-offs and My Lotto rewards through the Ohio Lottery app. Hurry up! The last entry deadline is May 13th. Lottery players are subject to Ohio laws and commission regulations. Play responsibly.
Are we having fun yet?
Right? From those commercials?
Beer commercials.
Right?
Hi, I'm Alexander Chester, and I was once in a podcast romance. It kind of got out of hand. It was a sex explosion. It's really the only way I can describe it.
And I'm Bob Sinensky. And Alex, I sat behind you for 2 years in social studies. I sneezed a lot.
Welcome back to Pretty, Pretty, Pretty Good, a Curb Your Enthusiasm podcast. We are here today to discuss both episodes 8 and 9 of season 1. We start with Celebrate Ricky Sargulesh, and then we go on to James Rolfe High School 20th reunion. Ron's own 20th reunion, episodes which originally aired on May 8th and May 15th, 2009. On May 15th, 2009, I had my first and only facial. I was checking the Google calendar from May of 2009, and I got a facial that day.
Is that means like somebody sprayed semen in your face?
No, I meant like it was at Sasha's in Cambridge, Massachusetts.
Is that an establishment where people spray semen in your face?
Yeah, no, it was like an actual facial, like where they, I don't remember what they do, but it was a month before my wedding.
Like pop your pimples and stuff, yeah.
I don't know. My wife said to me,
get a facial.
She said, yeah, you're getting married, get a facial. I'm like, okay, so I got a facial. Yeah. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. What did you do on May 15, 2009? The day that James Rolfe High School 23 reunion.
I'm happy to look to see if I have anything in my calendar, but mm-hmm. I did not use it as diligently as you.
Okay.
Let's see. 8th. It's a Friday. No event scheduled that day. May 15th.
Okay.
No event scheduled on this day. All right. Sorry. Couldn't be more interesting here. I realized this week that I have to be more careful about my intro lines because okay. We had a new associate join our group this week at my law firm, and we went out for lunch, me and a couple of the other members of our department to take him out for lunch on his first day. And we were driving back to our office from the restaurant. And my, let's say boss, for lack of a better word, but, you know, someone senior to me was driving. And she is aware of the existence of this podcast. And she is like, oh, did you know that he has a podcast? Like, let's play it in the car on the way back from the restaurant. And of course, so the way back in the restaurant is like, it's like a 4 minute drive. So it's mm-hmm. like, we really only got like the anchor ad up top followed by the intro lines. And yeah. Then, like, that was basically it. So yeah. Like the only thing they heard was me saying, hi, I'm Bob Sinensky, and I'm going to come to your house, murder your kids, eat them, and then shit them on your face or something like that. And I was like, well, this guy is going to, we're either going to get it off on really the right foot or not. So
yeah. Yeah, I think that's a net positive, really.
Yeah, no, it was okay. They thought it was funny. But it was just like, oh boy, this could have really gone badly.
Yeah. Well, you got to, choose those lines carefully, I guess.
Yeah. You got to know your audience, I suppose.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so, I mean, I think I said this at the end of last week's episode, but Celebrate Ricky Sargulesh and Sensation were like the two episodes of season one. There's another one from season two that were like vividly in my head before we started this. And I was very excited to rewatch the episode. I think it was a great episode.
Interesting. I'm going to be much higher on the second episode we're talking about today. Mm. So we'll, I guess we'll crunch that all. I will say you were definitely correct last week. I called you out. I think, I don't even remember if you did. I told you to cut it out of the episode because you said that the second episode involves Ron catering his own reunion.
Oh yeah, you told me that.
And I said, no, I think that's like a twist that like later in the episode. I think it's a spoiler for people who haven't seen it. And I was like way off. It's like the second, it's like the immediate premise of the episode. It's like he immediately reveals that this is his own
which I think is actually better because it's sort of, it immediately tells you like this episode is gonna end in a very bad and sad and awkward way for Ron. Like, you know, with 100% certainty. And yet it's still like teasing, 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 teasing. And then, of course, it comes and you knew it was coming, but it's still sort of a surprise.
Yeah. But yeah, let's hold off on that one till we get there. I'll definitely have a lot to say about that episode. I think it'll be definitely very high up, one of my favorites of the series so far. Mm, and okay. Kind of like Party Down at its highest, Ron at his lowest. Why don't we go in order, I would say.
Sure. All right. Well, let's start with the celebration for Ricky Sargulesh.
Yeah, so we jump straight into, backstage. We need to figure out what's the right way to describe this, because this happens every episode, this area. Because backstage is wrong.
The prep area?
Prep area, yeah. It's like behind the scenes. It's like they're working the party, but like it's just the crew.
Behind the kitchen doors, yeah.
Yeah, behind the kitchen doors. We're really being very serialized here, like much more so than Curb ever was, and frankly more so than I remembered. Like, I definitely knew that like the Henry and Casey of it all would be a ongoing storyline, but this episode like really picks up like where we left off with them, where the Rick Fox thing is still like very much looming large between them.
Yeah,
they like they're being very awkward, and like he's like moping around. And
but what I've noted before, it's so funny because it's very serialized with the specific personal lives of the six main characters, but yet completely no connection from one to another about the events. And so the reference of Rick Fox actually is a slight reference to the previous, but like, you know, like there's no consequences really for things that happen in the party, like people's money getting stolen or, you know, near death experiences or, you know, except of. Yeah. Except for Henry and Casey, I guess, which really is the will they or won't they, you know, at the heart of at least of season one.
Yeah. And, you know, she's like, I can't believe like you called me a whore. And he's like, I didn't. That was Roman.
However.
Being said, you're kind of a whore.
Yeah.
You are heavily flirting with Rick Fox.
Yeah.
And she's like, well, you know, we did agree to keep it casual. And she walks out.
And it's I have to be honest, it's not exactly clear to me what Casey sees in this guy who's like is like openly doing so poorly that he's like completely quitting his full life to go like live in with his parents and like quit this only job he has as a bartender. So a little
he's
strange
very,
to me.
He's very cute and funny and charming.
Yeah, but you know, you got to be cute and funny and charming, and I feel like I'd have a job or something. You know?
Well, you know, she's not doing that much better than him.
I don't know. Yeah,
they literally have the same job.
Yeah.
Except he's more senior. Oh, no, she's more senior. So,
well, yeah, okay, but she also
which arguably makes it worse. She's been doing this.
I mean, he's the one who's quitting the job to move in with his parents, you know.
Right.
She's still living independently.
Yeah, well, and she's going through an ugly divorce. So, like, things are not all turning up Casey at the moment.
Yeah. All right.
Casey exit, Roman enters.
Casey
and
could do better. She could get Roman.
Yeah. reminds Henry once again that there was a line.
Yes.
And Henry's like, oh, I'm so sorry that I didn't realize that I was supposed to wait for you to sleep with her before I, you know, made my move. Yeah. And Roman's like, that's correct. of course, Casey comes back in and tells them, please stop talking about me because this is, at this point, it's probably sexual harassment, right?
No, it's like, not great. Yeah.
And we get here a good Curb crossover with the whole shitting where you eat. Lowry, of course, was very much in favor of shitting where he eats.
Yes.
He has shit where he eats. He will shit where he eats, despite everyone warning him against it. So Roman, I guess, is the Richard Lewis in this role. Henry being the Lowry, both choosing to shit where they eat.
Yes.
And Henry's like, well, really, the problem here is that you are interested in eating at the same restaurant where I have already shitted. Like, that seems to be the issue.
Yeah. Which is true.
Connie and Kyle joined the fun, but, like, they don't understand this metaphor at all. And they're, like, doing these, like, deep ruminations about, like, Buddhism and the like. And they're totally lost.
The threat has been lost.
Casey, of course, comes back in, freaking out. That, you know, again, are you talking about me? Like, cut it out. And storms off again. Okay, so we cut over to the actual party. Roman and Kyle work in the room, work in the floor, and they are...
We have, like, a vague, like, Balkan, Middle Eastern, some kind of theme. It's never really... Like, the accents are never clarified for us. Right?
Yeah.
But,
I guess, like, definitely Eastern European.
But I would say, but like the food is like the grape leaf wrap things and hummus.
So maybe Greek. Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, I think it's something
Turkish.
Somewhere in the Balkan area, you know, maybe one of the former Yugoslavian republics of which I was reading today.
Oh, riveting stuff.
Yeah, it was the civil wars there in the 90s. Not great. Genocide. Yeah. Not a fan of genocide.
Not a fan of genocide. Yeah. No, but we said never again. So genocide ended.
Oh, okay.
Sad.
Yeah. Yeah, so it's not exactly clear, but we do see Steven Weber as Ricky Sargulesh doing something with his eye.
Yeah, and he, of course, was the what was his name on Curb? Yeah, the oyster guy.
He was the oyster shucker.
Shucker, yeah.
Yeah, shucker, yeah. Shucker, shucker?
Shucker. You're right. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, but he's, so he's fantastic here.
Yeah,
and we're here to celebrate him. And why are we celebrating?
Apparently because he just got away with murder.
Well, he was acquitted. That means he was not guilty. Sorry.
Yeah, that does mean he's not guilty. Roman and Kyle are having a big argument about Close Encounters of the Third Kind. Have you ever seen that?
No familiarity.
I saw it a couple years ago. I liked it.
Okay.
It's one of Spielberg's first movies. Like pre-ET, pre-Jaws.
Listen,
post-Jaws, pre-ET. I had a plan at some point this year that I was going to watch or rewatch all of the Spielberg movies this year.
Okay.
In anticipation of the Fablemans coming out. Mm-hmm. I have watched only one, so I don't think that's going to happen.
Okay.
In time. I went to see Jaws. They had it playing in the theater here. I took my daughter. She deemed it not scary at all.
Really?
Yeah.
Your oldest daughter?
Yeah.
I would assume. Interesting.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. She was like, I mean, she really liked it. She was like, not at all scary. I'm like, oh, okay. Yeah. I mean, I guess I could see that. Like when, you know, it's compared to, you know, big explosions and whatever and CGI and all that stuff. Like that sort of stuff is just like, eh. But I find Jaws to be horrifying and very scary. So.
Do you think it's almost she's like too young to appreciate like the... Or is it just a different generation, you think?
I think it's just a different generation. I think it's just like a very old school, like practical effects movie. And like you barely see the shark at all, which is like what makes it scary in a way. Yeah. But like it's, I guess, to a younger person that makes it much less scary. Because like there isn't as much of like the gore and gruesomeness that like makes it really scary. I don't know. Yeah, she really enjoyed it. Was not impressed by the horror elements of it all. It was really fun. Yeah, it's a great, great movie.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I have now less than 1 month to see, I don't know, 75 movies or something. So I don't think it's going to happen.
Well, you're seeing them all like or the ones you haven't seen, because there can't be 75 you haven't seen.
No, I was planning to rewatch them all. But this was just a thought I had in my head.
Like in chronological order?
That's what I was going to do. Yeah.
But that would be a tall task.
It didn't happen. No, I would have had to start this in like June, probably.
Yeah.
No, it's way too late.
He's made a lot of movies.
I mean, I have a lot of things I think in my head that I should do and that I don't do, like, you know, exercise and like take care of myself and, you know, work harder. And,
yeah, but prioritizing the ones that are important here.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. So we talked about what he is being celebrated for. Roman jokes that he's being celebrated for purchasing the new velour sweatsuit that he's wearing. Henry, is approached by Ula, and a very attractive lady who I assumed I felt like I recognized, but I looked at her credits and she seems like she's a nobody.
Yeah. Maria, don't call Maria Zirinova a nobody.
Like, I recall that like her picture is not even on her IMDb page.
Yeah. She's known for Dinner for Schmucks, Game Face, and Comics Open.
So. Okay, fine. So, right. So yeah.
But she's a very, very beautiful woman.
She's very beautiful. But she seemed more familiar to me than obviously she is.
Yes, I agree.
And she
flirts with him. Wait, you don't remember her from her uncredited role as blonde woman in Nocturnal Animals?
Oh, I did see Nocturnal Animals. Yeah. I didn't care for it at all. I don't recall.
I didn't even know that was a real thing.
Oh, no, it was a movie.
It doesn't even have a year on her IMDb. It just says blonde woman uncredited.
It was like a few years ago, yeah.
Yeah.
This
is a real movie.
It was a movie within a movie. It was a story within a story.
Amy Adams, Jake Gyllenhaal, Michael Shannon.
Yeah, no, it was a very good cast.
Oh.
But I didn't like it.
You don't remember Blonde
a lot of people liked it. Tom Ford, yeah, he did. What else did he do? I don't remember.
Well, I mean, he made a lot of clothes.
He made what?
A lot of clothes.
No, it's a different guy.
Wait, he did?
What?
Wait, I thought Tom Ford. I thought it was the same guy.
Oh, you're right. You're right. You're right. It is.
It is, right? He's a fashion designer.
Right. Yeah, he's a fashion designer. You're right.
She was also in an episode of It's Always Sunny. She played Dusty.
I don't remember that either.
But I'm sure that I saw her. That's the only thing on this page.
I'm sure I saw her, but yeah, I don't remember.
I mean, I saw Jennifer Schmucks, but I don't remember it. So,
yeah. And also, she's not blonde here, so how could she be a blonde woman?
Yeah. In fact, not only is she not blonde, but specifically claiming to be interested in blondes is how Henry tries to get out of
right. He was
flirting with her.
Yeah.
I don't know. Making out counted as flirting.
Well, do they make out here? No, they don't make out till later, I think.
No, but his claim is that they were only flirting, but they were making out.
And then he even lies to
Casey about that. And Casey's like, oh, busted. Like, I feel like if I lied to my girlfriend about flirting with somebody who was actually hooking up with them, it wouldn't just be, oh, busted, you got me. It would be like,
no, but she did the same exact thing. She then admits that she also made out with Rick Fox.
Well, she's also terrible also, by the way. And she also was a liar.
They're not boyfriend and girlfriend. They're not dating. They're not in a relationship. They're hooking up.
Well, that's what she says, but he certainly wanted more, and you know
they wanted more, but they definitely had very clear conversation that they're not, and maybe that's wrong, and like he obviously wants more, and she's probably not interested in more because she's coming out of a divorce. But I don't think she's coming out of divorce. I don't think she's in divorce yet. Like this is like very quick.
Yeah.
They're both playing the field a little bit. That's okay. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Here's where we get Constance trying to, you know, tell Casey about her workplace romances, you know, with this explosions. And Ron comes in and he's like, listen, like, you should not do workplace romances. Like, I've done them. They're horrible. You get hit. It's not a good idea. Yeah. And Connie's like, you got hit? He's like, what do you mean? He's like, I thought you stepped on a rake. He's like, well, I did get hit by a rake.
Yeah. Which reminds, of course, the famous Simpsons scene.
Yes.
That's the only time I've ever seen anybody hit by a rake.
Yeah, we were discussing Simpsons in the 32 fans chat this week, specifically the question of who is currently watching The Simpsons, that there are a sufficient audience for it to still be on network television.
I did look up Simpsons season episode rankings on the internet. I wanted to see some people's rankings. Rankings or ratings? Rankings. Here are the seasons ranked. The best season is season 12. The next best season is season 14, etc.
Okay. Have any of the last 15 seasons been considered?
Season 20 was the only season that I saw ranked in like anybody's top 10. Otherwise, it was like the first 10 seasons exclusively. And then season. So I don't know what happened. I think season 20 was the first year they switched to HD, and I don't know. But it's essentially the first 10. It's like the order's like episode seasons 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, basically in some order.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Well, I don't. Yeah, I'm sure it's not in the top 10. The question is, is it as good as like the next 10 episodes when like everyone I know was next 10 seasons when everyone I know was still watching it. Or has it significantly dropped off in quality such that it makes sense that we're no longer watching it?
Yeah.
But then again, it begs the question.
I think it's still good. It's just there's too many things on.
That could be. I mean, I definitely just like lost interest in it at a point.
Yeah.
But like I watched like the first like 20 seasons religiously.
20? You went that far? I would say I watched the first, I mean, up until high school. So
no, I went well past high school. I probably went to like 2010, 2012. I was still watching every single episode.
You were the last person watching.
No, but it's been on for an additional 10 years.
Yeah, but I don't know anybody who watched it past like 2001.
No, I mean, I knew a bunch of people then.
Mm. Okay. So why do you stop?
When did Family Guy go until?
I forget. There were still New American Dad episodes as of like,
I think Family Guy went well into like the middle of the 20s.
No, I watched Family Guy much later, actually.
Yeah, so
but
that's less defensible than watching The Simpsons.
I don't know. I feel like I knew people watching Family Guy.
Family Guy is still on. Holy shit!
Yeah, I stopped watching a couple years ago.
Family Guy has seasons. It has episode this Sunday.
should we do a Family Guy podcast?
I'm completely shocked that Family Guy is still on TV. I assumed it ended like 2015 or something.
Yeah,
that's wild. Wow. Should we do a Family Guy podcast?
Oh, yeah. First, we'll do a Simpsons podcast. Then we'll get to the Family Guy podcast after that.
Honestly, like, we would probably get, like, a big audience because, like, way more people watch Family Guy than watch Party Down.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, yeah, and more people watch
a new season of Family Guy just started. Should we ditch Party Down and switch straight over to Family Guy season 21?
I was still watching Family Guy not pretty recently because remember, like, Rob, I think Rob and his wife made fun of me on their Patreon episode, the 5 episode, whatever it's called.
Yeah,
because Akiva and
five
I met
Patron 5 for 5. Yeah,
exactly. And they made fun of the fact that I was still watching that show.
When did you say?
COVID time. I don't know, the last couple of years.
Oh, I had no idea it was still on. Yeah. All right. Season 21, episode 1, Oscars Guy. The Griffins perform a retelling of three Oscar-winning stories, Silence of the Lambs, American Beauty, and Forrest Gump. Sounds pretty good to me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're an Oscars guy.
I'm an Oscars guy.
Yeah.
Resolve to season 1, episode 2, this past week. Resolve to enjoy a family movie night. The Griffins take a road trip to Bend, Oregon to rent a VHS from the last Blockbuster in existence.
Wait, that was just discussed also in Patron Chat recently.
Yeah.
I think it might have been Shamaria. Somebody brought it up.
It was discussed in
the
Renap group.
Oh. What was the context?
It was a proposal for the the segment I did on Renap about the Falls TV.
Yeah.
Somebody suggested about the last Blockbuster.
Okay. Yeah, yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
All right, it's all coming together.
Yeah. All right, something to consider, Family Guy podcast. I can't imagine there's another Family Guy podcast.
Yeah. Why don't we just do a Maria Zirinova completist podcast, cover all her works.
Who's Maria Zirinova?
Ula.
Oh, that's Ula. I already forgot her name.
Born in Siberia, Russia.
Uh-huh. Okay, we'll get into that. Yeah, that'll be like 4 episodes.
Yeah.
We'll watch it with Schmucks. We'll watch an episode of It's Always Sunny. And that's
We could get her right as a guest. I'd hope so.
I would hope so. Yeah. If there's contact information for her, she seems to be a nobody. So, hopefully she doesn't listen to this episode. Yeah. I repeatedly call her a nobody. Yeah.
Stop saying that. We're never going to get her as a guest now.
It's okay. I'm also a nobody. Okay. So Kyle gets recognized by Rick
should teach you off. Everybody's a somebody to somebody.
Yeah, I mean, everybody is somebody to Ricky. Ricky knows everybody in like the full IMDb page just on site. Like, this guy is
incredible.
Yeah, he's a machine. This guy.
Yeah. Ricky knows. Well, everyone, a different person at the party knows a different one of them, right?
Oh, maybe you're right. Okay. Although you're right, he's way off in thinking that Roman is Napoleon Dynamite. That's not even a good call. Like, so that bothered me a little bit. Like, he doesn't look like Napoleon Dynamite at all. Napoleon Dynamite has like big blonde afro.
But Zoltan seems. I mean, he has really gone very, very deep into Constance's IMDb page.
Yeah, yeah. You don't mess with the Zoltan.
Yeah, very impressive.
So yeah, he recognizes her. He tells her how obsessed he was with the movie Dingleberries.
Oh, by the way, did you notice now, in episode 1 that we saw tonight, Zoltan is told and is expecting to come back to the kitchen to see Constance's underwear, right?
I don't remember that, yeah.
Where he says, I need to talk to you. Constance left something for you in the kitchen. Oh, is it underwear?
Uh-huh.
And then in the next episode, Miss Weintraub does leave her underwear in the kitchen.
Oh.
Accidentally.
That is interesting.
Yeah.
Miss Weintraub.
I forgot her first name. What is it, Lauren? Actually, Lauren Weintraub's a person I know.
Yeah, Melinda.
Melinda, yeah. Not a person I know.
We talk at all the whole backstory about Dingleberries and the nude scene and how passionate and erotic it was. Mm-hmm. And Connie really made an impression on this lad. We then cut back out to Ula and Henry outside, where she invites him to go outside for a cigarette. And Roman's like, all right, good, you're going with this girl. So now, you know, teach me how to get in on Casey now that she's on the rebound. You know, tell me everything that you know. And Henry instead just sticks him with bar duty and heads out.
Is she in defeat?
Right. Yeah, who is Quentin Tarantino? Yeah. Rick comes over and demands a role. He's like, you're a writer, right? Read my script and give me this. Now we cut back outside to Ula and Henry. She kisses him. They see this guy Mookie staring at him, and she's like, get away,
guy. He's like a 13-year-old kid.
Whatever. Yeah. Person.
Drinking a beer.
Mookie, that's now the fourth person in history named Mookie.
But who is this Mookie? She's like, oh, don't worry, that's just Mookie.
That's just Mookie.
Mookie's a snitch.
Mookie's a snitch. Yeah. Snitches get stitches, Mookie. You better be careful.
Let's see. Alex Holden, who plays Mookie, was born in 1995. So at the time of this episode, he was 24, that kid?
There you go. Guy is correct.
24?
He's a man.
I thought he was like 14.
Well, wow. They're terrible at just at a determining age.
Yeah, but I mean, doesn't he seem like a kid? He's like so short and tiny.
Yeah, he is like very short and baby face. Yeah. Mm-hmm. What are you gonna do?
What are you gonna do?
Yeah. So we go back inside and this guy is still flirting with Connie. Ron's like trying to like intervene because he wants Constance to get back to work. The guy takes out a knife and yells at him and calls him insect and tells him, leave or I will cut off your face.
Yeah. At least he's not gonna shit in front of his house.
Yeah. Ron tries to gather the whole team together and is like, guys, only me and Roman are doing any work. The rest of you are just like off gallivanting, like different nonsense, which I, understandably is very frustrating.
But also seems to be what happens in most episodes. In most parts.
Yeah. And here's where Roman comes in with the revelation that he thinks that Ricky killed the guy because he's reading the script and it very much sounds like this that's what this whole thing is about. He was just on trial for murder. He got acquitted. But like, so Kyle and Bonnie, well, if he got acquitted, he's innocent. Like, what's the problem? Like, why can't, all of us are innocent of murder?
I didn't think of it that way, but I guess so.
I mean, I am at least. I don't know. Speak for myself.
Yeah.
It's at this point that we get Henry cornered by two guys, one of whom we find out is Ricky, Ula's boyfriend. And Henry's like, I don't know what you're talking about. I wasn't flirting with her. Look, how can I be flirting? I have a fiance. And she, like, pulls over. Casey, like, see, she's my fiance, I love her. And one of the guys like, wait a second, I know you. You're the Are We Having Fun Yet guy from the beer commercial. And you're from Stand Up Showdown. So like, they're both big celebrities.
Yeah.
You're the Brandon Angelina of the party.
Ricky, I mean, these guys are very nice. All of Ricky and all his friends.
Yeah, murder aside.
I mean, whatever. Sometimes somebody deserves to get murdered.
Yeah, maybe he was a snitch. We then, we go back over to Connie regaling Zoltan and his friends with all her Hollywood tales.
Dom DeLuise.
Zoltan tells Ron to get the fuck out of here, go back to work. So Ron's like doing all the work while everyone else is just like hanging out at the party. And Casey's like, what was the deal with that? Like, why are you saying that I'm your fiance? And, he tells him, the whole story. And the main thing that Casey takes away with that is that he was clearly flirting with Ula. And now she's, like, getting jealous of that and wants to know what's the deal. We see Kyle and Connie. They're just, like, jamming on the dance floor, dancing with the guests. Meanwhile, Ron is, like, carrying, like, a stack of, like, 40 dishes and, like, stumbling. Anytime he tries to get help, they're like, no, they're busy. I guess that's that's how it should go, right? Like, if the guests are demanding it, then you're there.
Your job is to service the guests, exactly.
Yeah.
And I feel like these guys, Ricky Sargulesh's friends, either tip very, very well or not.
Or not at all, yeah.
They're not giving 15%.
Yeah, I guess not. I'm gonna guess not at all. He goes over to Roman.
I would call you racist, but I don't know what it is. I don't know what race, so.
Right. Yeah, I hate all races. Yeah. Whatever race they are is bad. They're people, right? I'm sure they're bad.
Yeah.
And we learned from Roman that there is a certain fat man with glasses who Ricky believes ratted him out, and Roman's pretty nervous that this guy's about to get killed, and he thinks he knows who it is.
Yeah, definitely seems to be Zoltan.
Yeah, Ricky, very inspired by Casey and Henry, calls for the DJ to stop the music, gets in front of everybody, and gives a speech and proposes to Ula.
The most amazing speech.
Yeah, she very ambivalently says, okay.
Yeah.
The room celebrates.
Yes. But the whole time she's mouthing to Henry as if she's had some long-term relationship with Henry and not a guy she just kissed after meeting for the first time 20 minutes ago.
Yes.
Very strange. They're eyeing each other across the room as if they're like Henry and Casey. I don't know. Women are just throwing themselves at this Henry.
Yeah, Henry, he's very attractive despite having no job and no prospects. And so Ron pulls Zoltan aside and tells him of the murder plot. They show him the script, and Zoltan pulls out his knife and starts walking out of the room, and we're like, it seems like things are about to go down. But he walks over to Ricky and pretends to stab him, and they laugh together because they're childhood friends, and he's like, can you believe that these people thought that you're gonna murder me? And they both have a big laugh.
Now, here's my question. Like, what is Joe? Like, the other guy, Oleg? He's not suspicious or worried at all, because he's like, he's also the fat guy with glasses.
Well, that's how we'll end the episode. Right?
I know, but I'm saying, but him at that point in the party, he should be nervous.
Right. Well, maybe he's not self-aware, doesn't think of himself as fat.
I guess maybe. Yeah.
Yeah. And then we have our post-credit scene, as you just mentioned. That's the note it ends on. And we discussed earlier the whole, Casey and Henry each confess to first having flirted, but then revealing, no, actually, I made out with him.
Or yeah. Well, Henry didn't confess. He got caught.
Right. Well, yeah, she surmises. Yeah. I don't know how she knows. I guess she's just assuming.
She says Mookie told her.
Oh, right.
I'm saying Mookie's the biggest snitch in the
Mookie's
world.
Mookie's a huge snitch. Yeah. She's telling everybody.
It's one thing to tell Ricky. Ricky's your boss. But what are you telling? Maybe he was trying to make time with Casey. And she's like, no, I'm spoken for. He's like, who? By that guy? That guy was just hooking up with Ula.
Yeah.
To defend Henry here for a second, Ula made the first, second, and third moves. Henry was basically just standing there.
Oh, Henry was defenseless. This gorgeous girl was just like coming hard after him. Like, and he's not in a relationship with her.
Yeah, there's absolutely nothing you can do with that situation.
Yeah, he has no choice. His hands are tied. Even he is not above the policy.
Yeah.
Which is, if a very hot girl tries to make out with you.
Yeah.
I mean.
All right.
Well, I don't know how official any of these rankings really are.
So, Av, how do you rate the episode?
Yeah, I mean, I was kind of mad on this episode. I know some people really like it. It sounds like you really like it. I don't know. The whole, murder plot I thought was kind of silly. I do like the Casey and Henry stuff. I think that's flowing nicely, and it's like they're not moving too fast. Like they're kind of giving that relationship time to breathe, and I appreciate that. But I'm still gonna say this is a below average episode, and that it is pretty good. 2.5.
Wow. For me, this episode is pretty good. That's 5 pretties.
Wow.
I love this episode. The idea is great. I love the idea of like them being like, massive celebrities to somebody. The ambiguity is great of like what exactly is the story. Like we don't officially find out that the actual party is for him getting off from killing somebody until Zoltan comes into the kitchen and he actually sort of mentioned in the past. He's like, no, he was acquitted. So what? Like before that, it's just sort of speculation. Like maybe, he was just something incorrectly Googled by Roman. So the other fat guy with glasses, he gets shot, I guess. That's how the episode ends. Or garroted across the neck or whatever. But he's definitely murdered, right?
You would think.
That's the implication.
Not, because maybe Ricky's really innocent.
Yeah, but the rest, I don't know. It certainly seemed they were looking at each other angrily as they got in the car. I want a whole spinoff 10-episode series on Mookie. I just want to know who Mookie is.
Yeah. Yeah. We should dive deeper.
Yeah, Mookie's living quite a life. Throwing beers outside the party. Although apparently he's not 12 years old, like I thought. He's he might be of age actually. So
yeah.
And who knows what the legal drinking age is in whatever made up country they're from Blurgistan. It's the drinking age is 4, so they're permitted. I love this episode.
Oh come on, be a come with guy.
Let's get right to the come with guy. Who's your come with guy?
My come with guy is Henry. He scores with Ula. He ends up with Casey at the end, or at least, advances his relationship with Casey by the end. So he's doing well in the relationship department and the female department. He also just like he's a big celebrity at this party. That was very cool. Great episode for Henry.
Yeah, to me, it has to be Ricky Sargulesh. What a celebration. Acquitted of murder, engaged to be married. Met all his favorite celebrities. His screenplay is getting written, reviewed by a real writer. And he's a great guy. He's having a great old time. And Steven Weber just hits it out of the park. Wonderful job.
Yeah.
Oh, what? I'm the asshole here? I am. I'm the asshole? I'm the asshole. Oh, I get it. I'm the asshole here, huh?
Put your clothes on, Gordon. No one wants to see your penis. No one.
Well, why? Maybe I'll win an award for best cock.
I would say Ricky's a fucking asshole because he probably murdered a guy. He's probably about to murder another guy. And if that doesn't make you a fucking asshole, I mean, what are we doing here?
And I will say the fucking asshole is... I actually didn't really plan on this, unfortunately. Yeah, you know what? I'm going to say that the fucking asshole is Rick Fox. Because Rick Fox is a married man. Why is he hooking up with Casey? Bad job by Rick Fox. Yeah.
Make that in the episode. Wow. So it's such a bad job. He gets in an episode later.
Yeah. All right. Should we go on to episode number 2 now?
Let's do it.
All right, so I think we're going to sort of flip our opinions. From
yeah, I suppose. James Rolfe High School 23 reunion. Do you know who James Rolfe is?
Oh, no. Is that a real person?
No, it's not. Well, no. There's now a James Rolfe spelled differently, who's a YouTube celebrity. Mm-hmm. All the James Rolfes on Wikipedia are spelled differently. They're all R-O-L-F-E.
Okay. So
there's actually a James Rolfe, R-O-L-F, R-O-L-P-H, who was the governor of California.
Oh, well, this school's in California.
Maybe there was a Jimmy Rolfe, who was a professional footballer. There's a James Rolfe, who was in the Wisconsin State Senate. And there was a
probably
James,
not the guy here.
There's a James Rolfe, who was a composer from Canada. So, yeah, this one seems to be made up, I would guess. Unless, wait, do we know what? Oh, no, we're in L.A., I guess, right? So, like, it wouldn't be named after the guy who's in the Wisconsin State Senate.
Probably not, yeah. But the governor from California is possible.
Oh, yes, you're right. Yeah. No, but it's spelled differently, though.
Yeah, all right, whatever. So they're not so smart at the school.
Yeah. Unless I spelled it wrong, but I think I just copied and pasted it from IMDb. So
no, I think you're probably right. So I mean, it's, you know, this episode, I said this at the top of it, but like, you just immediately know it's gonna be so awkward. And even like the other characters, they're like, wait a second, this is your reunion? Like, why are you working this reunion? He's like, no, I wanted to. He's like, oh, Ron, poor Nebuch. Like, you know, it just immediately, it's so cringy, this episode, to me.
Yeah, I mean, this is like the peak Ron episode. Like, I think that like if you had to show someone one episode of Party Down to explain the character of Ron, this is certainly it.
Yeah.
It checks all the boxes.
Yeah, even though it's almost the highest high he gets in the series, right?
Well, is it? I mean, he thinks it is, but I don't think there's ever a moment where it is.
Well, right at the end, right before he vomits all over himself, she's still interested in him.
I don't know if she's interested in him in that way, but
wait, so what did she do? She comes in, she sits down with flirtation. She's like, so, you know, the class clown and the class, you know.
Yeah, I guess, bro. I guess, but
you can argue it's completely unrealistic that she would come to him in that situation after, you know. But you know, I don't know. I can't get inside her head.
Yeah,
she's on the rebound.
Yeah, no, I mean, like this episode to me is really Ron's character in a nutshell, because it's like, He's so stuck in the past that he claims to like be a new person and you know, all these things, but it's like he's still like going after like the exact type of woman that like he should not be. Like, this person is not going to be not interested in you. Like,
but she is. That's the crazy part.
She's only at the end where like the guy like
they were about to kiss, but and then the whole point is it gets blown up in her face because the other guy shows up. She was about to kiss him, and then Kyle and Roman showed up, and then she totally ditches him when she gets the better option, and then when he rudely ditches her.
All right, yeah. I mean, that wasn't my read on those scenes. So maybe we just interpreted those differently. But I didn't feel like she was ever interested in him. I thought she was just like, you know.
I mean, we're watching, knowing it's somehow going to come crashing down, but the episode implies that she's DTF. Not once, but twice, I thought. But I don't know. Maybe it was
interesting. All right. Maybe I'll go back and rewatch him more carefully. That wasn't my read. I thought she was just like bullying him and abusing him and never crossed her mind that like this is somebody that's on her radar as being like sexually interested in, and he's obsessed with her. And
well, it certainly starts out that way. Yeah.
Yeah. So maybe, yeah. All right. Maybe I'll take another look at those scenes. But yeah. Anyway, so, you know, we jump in. We meet Melinda, who we've been talking about. She's played by Molly Parker, who. She's in a lot of stuff. I think I most associate her with House of Cards. She played that like upstart Congresswoman Jackie Sharp. I think she eventually become vice president at some point. I think, I don't know. That show was crazy. And she's got a long list of problems with, you know, issues at the party. And Ron, is very excited for this party. And she tells him, I see you have a name tag, but like this is it's just for alumni. Like, you know, the catering company is not supposed to use the tag. He's like, I'm an alumnus too. I sat behind you 2 years in social studies, Alex. I think we were actually in the social studies for 3 years together. But
social studies, like history?
Or history, as they called it. Yeah, I feel like those are the same. They call it social studies in middle school.
Let's see.
It just becomes history, right?
10th grade with Mr. Dr. Taylor. 11th grade with Mr. Deutsch, and 12th grade with Dr. Kahn.
That's right.
Oh, three right. years, yeah.
Three for three.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think we had any social studies classes together in college.
Yeah.
Because you took a lot of so-called real classes, and I took a lot of so-called joke classes.
Yeah, I don't remember. Anyway, yeah. So then we have to mention the fact that Candace is not here, but her roommate, Bobby, played by Jennifer Coolidge, is here.
Yeah, Jennifer Coolidge.
And I think this was a real life. The reason was because of Glee was filming.
Mm.
And I think that's why we have the pinch hitting here.
Interesting.
If I'm not mistaken.
That makes sense.
Yeah. But I think Jane Lynch, and I hope it's not a spoiler, but doesn't Jane Lynch, she ends up being gone from now until the end of season two, right?
She's definitely gone for a long time. I'm not sure if this is her last episode until then, but she definitely leaves the show.
She makes a big return for sure.
Yeah, yeah. It could be that this is her last episode. I mean, I guess, right. We are coming. We're further into the season than I'm thinking. Yeah, this is the ninth episode. So I think unless she's in next week's episode, I think she's definitely gone for most of season two.
Yeah.
So,
but Jennifer Coolidge is a pinch hitter, and the idea of them being roommates is amazing to me.
Yeah, I mean that should be a spinoff show. Like, I would, I'm all in on watching the show Candace and Jennifer Coolidge as roommates and struggling actors in LA. Yeah, totally in on that. Oh, she was in Joey, right.
Who, Jennifer Coolidge?
Yeah.
Yeah,
of course. Well, she was in White and right, and Lotus. White Lotus last year.
Isn't White Lotus coming back this month?
It is. It's coming back shortly.
Yeah, White Lotus podcast.
yeah, I don't know. Post Show Recaps is doing that. I don't think we need to.
Okay. Yeah,
they're doing. They're recapping season one now. So. She gives him the scoop about how Connie ran off with Zoltan, and that her and Connie have a bet that if she can get him to get back into acting, she gets $10.
Mm-hmm.
Although she doesn't like his face, she says it's very pinched and tight, like a sphincter.
Yeah.
So of course Henry gives her the $10 and says, "You're out of luck. I'm moving in with my parents."
Yeah. Dun dun dun. And moving far away, apparently. His parents don't live in the L.A. area.
Right. We have Ron, he's standing with Henry at the bar. He's scanning the room. He's filling them in on, the background and gossip about every single person at the party. Henry, of course, doesn't give a shit. Henry's like, why didn't you just take the day off?
By the way, we just missed our 20th year anniversary last year, I realize now.
Yeah, we had a 10th year.
I'm the one who organized it.
Yeah, I don't remember why I didn't make it. I know I didn't
It wasn't. It wasn't official. I contacted the school.
Right. Yeah, you did it then, at Boat Basin, right?
Yeah, we did it at the Boat Basin. And then the next year, actually, they started doing them because they realized, we should be maintaining relationships with our alumni, for recruiting or for fundraising or, it seemed very obvious to me, but they were quite dumb, I thought. So, but yeah, we should. Should we have a 30th year? What's after 20, 25, I guess?
Maybe people skip 20 and just go 10 to 25. That makes sense, right?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
Okay. So we can do 25. 25 would be 2026. All right. Yeah. So get planning.
Yeah. I think it was Berliner and Ami helped me with that one.
Okay. Yeah. Get on it.
We had solid. We had at least 20 people. Plus there was definitely some people who you would not Josh Sanders showed up.
Right.
People who most of the people had not seen in 10 years is my point. Which is really the point of that. It's not to see the people you see all the time, because then who cares?
Yeah, I suspect that if I went to a thing like this, I would just hang out with the people I see all the time.
Yeah, but that's why it was exciting to see some people that you hadn't seen in many moons. So
yeah.
Mm. All right. Yeah. Well, maybe.
Well, there's a reason I haven't seen those people.
Well, I'm not saying you have to move in with them.
I'm not driving them to the airport.
It's not like Bobby and Candace. Yeah, but it's... anyway. All right. So So we're back at Ron's 20th, though.
Yeah. And he says, actually, exactly the opposite. I specifically wanted to work for this reunion because I wanted them to see what a, success I've been, that I've got my shit together. They know me as this crazy, wild guy, Bluto, who's a drunkard. And, now I'm a completely different person.
Yeah.
And so he begs the team. He's like, I was wondering if, just for tonight, if you could please just, act like I'm a good boss who, knows what they're doing and, maybe just respect me a little bit. And they very reluctantly agree to help Ron out, throw him a salad.
Why Ron thinks he's going to impress people, so nebuch.
Yeah. His first opportunity, he gets to, we want to show off in front of Melissa, what a strong boss he is, is very bossy. he orders a Chardonnay splash, and Ron's like, you call that a splash? Like, you know, whatever. He's like, he's trying to like be the tough guy, and everyone's like rolling their eyes.
It is weird, by the way, that he thinks like being a good boss means being an asshole.
Yeah, right. Exactly. He equates those two things.
Yeah.
Casey's like, you really can't move back home. And he's like, why? Is it because you'll miss me too much? And she walks away because, yes, she just doesn't want to admit it yet. Until later in the episode. You know, one of the classmates recognizes Ron at the party, and he starts telling the story of how Ron earned the nickname Bluto, which I think we learned later it's because he, you know, drank the bottle of whiskey and threw up in front of everybody.
Yes. And ruined their party because they canceled the party.
Yeah. And he went to the hospital with alcohol poisoning.
Yeah.
Ron spots that his old best friend Donnie is here, and he rushes out because, you know, he obviously, we'll see, he associates Donnie with that part of his life when he was you know, a loser or a drunkard who just like had bad things happen to him.
Okay so
we have Kyle and Casey in the basement. Donnie comes in and he can't believe that Kyle is the team leader. You know, he's like, really, you know, he was oh wait, sorry, I don't know if I messed that up. He can't believe that Kyle's a team leader or Ron's a team leader.
Ron's a team leader. Yeah,
yeah. So I don't know why I wrote down Kyle. Doesn't make any sense.
Be less impressive if a guy he didn't know was a team leader.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Linda's like freaking out about the AV system, but like Ron's like, you know, trying to keep it together. You know, while he simultaneously hits on her. You know, he's like, see, look, we got Roman over here. He's a tremendous nerd. He's on top of it.
Ron is doing an excellent job.
He's doing his best, know, for sure.
Yeah, preemptively solving all her crises before they even occur. He's on top of the ball here.
Yeah. So she gets on stage and, you know, she's, you know, starting to, you know, introduce, you know, all the different awards and the shows. And meanwhile, we have Casey and Donnie, and they're talking to Henry. They tell him the story about Bluto, how Ron became Bluto. And Casey's like, oh, and they find out that Donnie lives with his parents. So like Casey's like, oh, that's interesting. My friend Henry here is considering moving in with his parents. Do you have any tips for him on how to, you know, like navigate that? Like, what would be like a good way to handle that part of your life? And Donnie explains that the reason he moved back in is that, you know, he was a rodeo clown, but he got torn the scrotum, and like that was that. I guess, you know, his days of having plenty of money were over. So
yeah,
he had no choice.
Mm-hmm.
He was like, well, what did the other rodeo clowns think? He's like, did they ask you to stay? How did they react? And like, you know, Casey and Henry are like having this back and forth, like basically like hamming out their argument using Donnie as a tool in their discussion. Unbeknownst to Donnie, of course.
Mm-hmm.
It's then that we have, I guess this is the scene that we talked about earlier that we interpreted differently with Ron and Melinda in the basement, reminiscing about their past, and Melinda reveals, yeah, so here's where I think you're just wrong. I mean, I'll rewatch it, but like there's a disconnect in this in this scene where they're talking about, oh, it's a chance to reconnect with old people you never would have thought you would have been with, and Ron thinks they're both talking about each other, but she's talking about Mark.
No, she's talking about Mark, and then she says, and then Ron says, well, maybe he'll show up, and then she's like, no, he was a not coming. She's sort of sad, and then he says, well, there's always other people, and then she's like, yeah, and then they lean in to kiss, and then Kyle and Roman come down. She is talking about Mark, and then
okay,
and then he opens the possibility of it being someone else.
Okay, I guess. Yeah.
I think you're correct in the larger sense, like we know as viewers, okay, they are not going to hook up, something bad is going to happen,
right?
But you know, there's a moment where it seems like she's interested in it, and you know, anyway.
Yeah. So then we head out to Henry, back to Henry and Casey, where, you know, he finally says to her, look, like, I can't, like, I have, you know, my life is not in good shape. I can't hang around here for just a casual hookup. Like, maybe if it was a different story, if you were like saying, please stay, you know, so that we can like see what we have here. And finally she's like, okay, please stay. And they kiss, and it's cute, and it's nice. And looks like maybe we got something here. So we head back out to the party where Ron bumps into Mark, And he's like, oh shit, like now, like this is gonna like completely blow up my spot. And yeah. he tries
Do you recognize Mark, by the way?
I did, but I don't remember where I remember. I didn't
recognize Kyle Bornheimer. He was on Breaking Bad and Better Call Saul.
Really?
But like one episode of each. He has a face, he's definitely a that guy.
Yeah, let's look him up now.
Yeah. Kyle Bornheimer. And I think that's what I recognize him from.
From Better Call Saul and Breaking Bad.
Yeah, I was reading his credits. I mean, he's been on other things that I've seen, but anyway, he has a familiar face. And he's immediately a douche. He's running a marketing venture firm, he said, and he's doing a lot of hella skiing. Is that it?
Yeah, I don't really see anything that jumps out. He's Kenwin's. Oh, is he like the douchey lawyer?
Yes. I think he's typecast as a douchebag.
Yeah. okay. Yeah, so he heads over to the he tries to send Roman to the bathroom first because someone tells him that it's like a mess. But like Roman's like a fuck yourself.
Why is the whole cast turned on him? It wasn't exactly clear to me why that happened.
Yeah, I guess they just whatever.
They all simultaneously
kick back into regular gear.
Yeah.
So he goes to do it and he finds Donnie passed out of the bathroom. He says he had too much shrimp and too much brew. Yeah, that'll do it.
Yeah.
So I've heard.
Oh, it's not. Wait, but why is he? Was he shitting? Because his pants are down. It's strange. Anyway.
I think he's just slow. Right. Yeah. Who the hell knows? He was, yeah. You know, when you get that blackout drunk, strange things tend to happen.
I guess so. Yeah.
They make a deal that he'll clean himself up if Ron, you know, goes after Melinda. She's a fish in a barrel, and you got to go score one for us losers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So like it's everyone's like saying, oh, it's like, you know, it's time for the I remember speeches. So Ron is looking for Melinda, and of course he finds her in a closet with Mark, where they seemingly have just hooked up. And Mark's like, he's like, oh, Don, like how you doing? He makes a mistake. He thinks he thinks he's Donnie. Or is he a different Don?
Yeah, he confused because they're drawn. So he confused the one for the
right.
other.
Right, they both go to they're usually together, yeah.
Yeah.
He's like, can you believe it? The guy's the waiter at his own reunion. He thinks people are impressed, but people are just laughing at him, like what an idiot he is. And Ron's like, yeah, that's me. And they have and Ron's like, oh shit, sorry, man. And he heads out.
Yeah, he's a douchebag.
Yeah.
And then, you know, Ron notices Melinda has left her underwear.
Yes, we find out that Henry will not be moving back in with his parents. So Bobby's excited. She's going to now has a chance to win the $10 bet. And it's at this moment that Ron decides to show all these losers how much he's grown and how much he's advanced, that he gets on stage with a bottle of whiskey, chugs it and says, I'm a new man. I am success now, and walks off stage.
Yeah.
And
I was thinking here, Ron, fill the bottle with something else. Like, don't actually drink the whiskey. That seems like a very bad idea.
Right. We go to the post-credit scene where Melinda's pissed off at Mark, saying, you know, you should have told me that you were married before fucking me. And she's like, well, if I had told you that, would you still have fucked me? Yeah. And drives off, you know, leaving Excellent her speechless. And then, as we said, Melinda goes to sit next down to Ron. They, you know, have somewhat of a moment. Which is immediately ruined by him puking all over her and begging her to call 911 for him.
Yeah. Oh, poor Ron.
Well, I don't know how official any of these rankings really are.
All right. So it sounds like you really love this episode. So what's your rating?
Yeah, I really did. I mean, I think like the Ron stuff here is great. I've been much more down on Ron than you have overall as a character. I just find that he's like too one note. But like I thought this episode like really added a lot of depth to him and like made him more simultaneously sympathetic and pathetic and like likable and hateable. I don't know, just like it's like I think it's a really good Ron episode. It really just like dives deep into this character in a way that we was very superficial until now. And you know, the Henry and Casey stuff I think is really good. You know, I don't love losing Connie and having Jennifer Coolidge instead, but like if someone's gonna fill in, like she does a pretty bang up job. And I just, you know, I really liked the vibe of this episode. It felt like very authentic. So yeah, I say this episode is pretty good. 4.5. Just shy of a perfect episode of Party Down. I think I've had one other 4.5 so far. So this is, you know, very near the top for me. One of my favorite episodes that we've seen.
All right. Yeah, I'm going to go the other way. I say it's pretty good. 3.5. It's just, it's so dark and sad. It makes me want to cry for poor Ron. And, you know, I just, I want to crawl into a hole. I'm very sad for Ron. Like, come on, Ron. And I realize that means it's probably good because it was moving me, it was causing me to emote. But yeah, I'm only giving it 3.5. It's not an episode I want to like rewatch necessarily. Whereas Ricky Segulash, I would watch. Right. I would watch it again right now.
All right.
I was having fun yet for that episode for sure.
Yeah. This episode is less fun. I agree with that.
Yeah.
Oh, come on, be a come with guy.
Talk about the come with guy. Well, you tell me first. Is it Ron for you?
No, my come with guy is Mark. The guy shows up to the party for 45 seconds, fucks someone, and goes home. Pretty great party.
Okay. He's definitely my fucking asshole because he's such an asshole.
Well, sometimes the fucking asshole and the come with guy, you know, it's all about perspective.
Yeah. Okay. You know what? My come with guy is going to be Donnie because everybody's making fun of him, but he's living his best life. He's happy. And, you know, if you're happy, what else matters?
Yeah.
Oh, what? I'm the asshole here? I am. I'm the asshole? I'm the asshole.
So Donnie's my fucking asshole by a mile. I mean, anytime you end up naked and passed out on the bathroom floor at your high school reunion, something has gone horribly wrong.
I mean, he at least doesn't go in an ambulance the way Ron does.
Yeah, I guess. Right. Ron is more, he goes down harder. But Donnie.
This
seems just like a day in the life for Donnie.
Yeah. Again, just dark episode, man.
Would you stop with the Ted dance?
Who's he?
He's somebody.
What about me?
You're nobody.
Why him? Why not me?
He's good. You're not.
I'm better than him.
You're worse. Much, much worse.
We got a whole bunch of cameos, though. We got, you know, we have Steven Weber in the first one, as we said. But in this episode, we have Jennifer Coolidge, Molly Parker. We talked about Joe Latrullio. So Joe Latrullio, of course, very much in like the world of the Reno 911 crowd and like a lot of these guys. So.
I would say Jennifer Coolidge probably the most famous just because of the Stifler's mom.
Is she more famous than Steven Weber?
I mean, like, she's not as successful as Steven Weber, but I think she's more famous, like, in like, just like recognizable because of like the one role.
Yeah. She's such an interesting, like, have you heard interviews with her?
No.
So I heard a bunch of interviews with her on like podcasts and stuff surrounding. What's the name of the Hawaii show that you just went to work for? Mike White's show?
The White Lotus?
Thank you, White Lotus. Yeah. And I feel like she's basically the character she's playing. Like, she seems to barely be acting in that show, which is amazing. Alec Baldwin, I always feel that way about him as well. Anyway.
Did you know that that Stephen Weber played Osama bin Laden in a movie?
No, but that's like a non-comedy?
I don't know. The name of the movie was Being Bin Laden.
Okay, click on it.
In 2011. Well, I can't click on Wikipedia. It doesn't have a Wikipedia page, so that'll say something about it. Okay. Let's see. It has an IMDb. Mm-hmm. It's a comedy. Yeah.
Yeah, okay. All right, I believe that.
Rachel Harris was in it as well.
Okay. Is it time for the postman?
She played Hamza. Is that Bin Laden's wife?
No, probably one of them. No Zach Brooks in the mailbag because he thought we were recording tomorrow.
Yeah, sorry, Zach Brooks.
Yeah. Postman, come here. Tell the neighborhood. Right, where the Shonda, Larry David is. Not only are you a lousy Jew, but you're a lousy human being. He screws the wife of a man in a wheelchair. A Shonda.
Maybe you should have given me some candy.
You're a lousy Jew.
We do have Zach Louis, though, so we still have a Zach.
Okay.
We can only have one Zach.
Yes.
So Zach Brooks will be back next week. Zach Louie. Yeah, you can sit right in. It's fine. We can have as many Zachs as we want. So he says, diving right into the episode, celebrate Ricky Garulesh is a strong contender for my favorite of the season. So he's with you, Alex. That the group is getting recognized, admired by an unlikely. Get the hell out of here, other Zach. We got a new Zach in town. Yeah, lovable, gaggle, performance art lovers. 4.5 pretties. Come with gal is Ula because I love a direct woman that takes what she wants. Fucking asshole is Ricky because murder. Well said.
Fair. Well said. Yeah.
High school reunion is an entire episode of proving to the viewer that, yes, Ron can go lower. Some very funny moments, but I feel like most of the cast was largely ignored. 3.5 pretties.
So I told you, this is the new
Zach. Your exact scores.
Yeah. New Zach.
Come with guy is Henry for trying to be a good guy and actually going along with Ron's whole team leader charade. Fucking asshole is Ron. I'd give you my character rankings, but I have no idea what we are ranking them off of. Can't believe we are already near the end of season
one. We forgot to do that.
Are we having fun yet?
Yeah. Definitely having fun.
Definitely having fun. Okay. And then we have another email, and that is from Alex Orvitz.
Two Alexes? What's happening?
Two Alexes, Zach. He says, Ricky Sargulash, this was my favorite episode so far. Mm. All right. So I guess I'm in the minority. Yeah, everyone's Team Alex today. And all of the main cast were really good. I loved all the supporting characters in this one, too. Ricky and his goons of indeterminate origin were appropriately menacing, but also very funny. Party, 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 party down. Five parties.
Wow, full five.
He gives his character rankings. Number one is Henry for getting away with a quick makeout sesh with a mobster's fiance. Constance for finding love. Number three is Kyle, who gets sloshed with the fun mobsters. Number four is Casey. Now it's her turn to get jealous, but her having to pretend to be with Henry to Ricky was hilarious. And number five is Roman and Ron in a tie. No love from the mobsters. They also didn't even save the right large man with womanish glasses. As for high school reunion, and he'll say, all I can say for this one is poor Ron. The whole episode was just a slow motion car wreck. Party, 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 party down. Four parties. Rankings number one is Bobby. Yay, Jennifer Coolidge. Number two, everyone else except for Ron. Infinity, Ron. Please, someone help this man.
Oh, poor Ron.
And, that's our postman.
All right, well, next week we are going to be having the season finale, the Stenheiser Pong wedding reception. The team will be back up to a different catering company. Ron will, as we saw at the end of this week's episode, will fall back into his parting ways, forcing Henry to take charge of the team. So,
yeah, we're going to do season one, episode 10 next week. So, you know, we're going back to one episode just for this episode, and then I think season two will do two episodes a week again, and so that'll be, you know, it'll get us back on like an even number, because otherwise it was would be awkward.
Well, I didn't check. Is the season finale a little bit of a longer episode?
It could be. So yeah, you know.
I mean, nowadays it would be, because now everything's streaming. You can make
right.
It
so if it
want.
Is, but we can say then, we can say that's why we did it. If it's not, it's just because, like, yeah, I feel like it would be weird to do like season one episode 10 and then season two episode one in one episode. Like, it's, I think it's better to go back to.
Although next week we'll be in the middle of celebrating our holiday when we both finish reading the Torah and start reading the Torah again on the same day. So maybe it's appropriate to go from season one to season two without a break.
Right. But, except I think you have your week wrong.
Well, no, next week we're recording on Holomoid, right?
Right. Okay. Yeah. Oh, so
it'll be the episode coming out before someone starts. Anyways. All right. Enough.
Nobody cares.
Get a life, Jews.
Accept math, everyone.
Get a life, Jews!